Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 137, part 1. Are we sincere? Today is Friday, March 12th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday to register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to call between 1 and 3 p.m. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. Be sure to join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes. You can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org, and in the show notes, you're going to also find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one of Pastor Paul's messages and Sundays for part two. This month, the messages are the following: Go Forth Without the Camp, Are We Sincere, Are You in the Smoke, The Riches of His Grace. So there you have it, the month of March. Have a great month and a beautiful spring. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled, Are We Sincere? I think insincerity is a quality that can undermine then the whole Christian structure that we build. It ends up in sort of a half-done works, ditched spiritual plows because of insincerities. It does it in sort of a hidden way, don't you know? Hidden motives, or because of jealousy, we are insincere. Oh, man, that's a spirit, isn't it? Jealousy. Ruins so many people, ruins so many ministries. It's that infighting. It's that continual arguing, and they're breaking up. Churches are breaking in halves, and where they have like 4 or 5 million members, or they're breaking into segments. Because of infighting, because of the Lord, and the Lord is causing the break. But insincerities, because of jealousy, we're insincere. Remember that song, Are You Sincere? When you say, I love you. Anyone ever hear that one? Nobody? Are you sincere when you say I love you? Are you sincere when you say you care? How sincere are we? I think insincerity then is the termite of the personality. Sort of eats away through our phoniness of self, and then self is revealed. And our I love yous and our I promises turn into be papier-mâché that burn up then in the fiery trials of experience. But then again, remember, we're only Christians in the making, and the very best we can find in all of us, insincerity. And I think even unconscious hypocrisies. Even when we're not good and not true, we act it out. And so by our acting, we acknowledge we should be good and true. The very fact that we try to act good and we try to act like we want to do good then shows me that we acknowledge we should be that way. And so we act out being good. Instead of recognizing our only good is Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, there is no other good in us. How many have come to realize that? Now, this is beautiful because it says, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ in me. And when we get to that point, and how you get to that point is recognizing there's no good in you saving Jesus being formed in you, being formed into the image of Jesus Christ. That means you totally have to lose yourself. Now, don't get into the melancholy on me. You on the radio here, tape. Because to really lose yourself, you got to want to lose yourself. But also, we come into an understanding of grace. The more that you see yourselves, the more that we see ourselves, the more that we understand that it's all by grace. That there's no other way. Without God's grace, who would ever make it? About the time you think, oh man, I have changed, I have attained. And you start to get into that confession of self again, well, you find out, hey, it's all by the grace of God. I was thinking of it this Christmas. We decorate our cities for the birth of Christ. But our real motive is money and gifts. And our real motives are celebration. There's even a song like that. We're going to have a celebration. And you see, we've left the spirit of give, and we've picked up on the spirit of get, and we've lost all of our joy. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a gift. What a Christmas gift to all. Yet, we leave that, and we got into the spirit of getting. And that's the same way at Easter. And that's coming up. Many places, they'll buy all brand new clothes and then run to church to show off. We don't come to see Jesus, we come to see each other's clothes. But don't you see, insincerity and hypocrisies exist. It's like this rich lady called and said that she had someone that had stolen all of her towels. Says, well, would you know them if you've seen them? She says, yes, they have Red Edison Hotel written on them. See, by pointing the finger at the thief, she made her own dishonesty okay. How many are hearing this? Insincerities. Matthew 7, starting in verse 3. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. The log. See, he's so far back, he's so far removed from the person's problem that he can no way see the speck here because he's got a log in his own eye. James then verse 3, James 3 and verse 10, says like this, from the same mouth come both blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does the fountain send out from the same opening fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness, in wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your own heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. But if you have, let me read that again. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, dynamic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If you do anything, make peace. But why halt ye? 1 Kings 18 and 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And it says, and then the people answered him not a word. You see, they were not sincere enough to answer. And they just got red ears. One will betray me. And they were all asking, Lord, is it I? And in the picture, all of the disciples' ears are red, but there's one pair of ears that are a little redder than the others, and that's Judas's. And I thought, that's like us. We point the finger at Judas's. Our indignation then covers up our own betrayals. A lot of times we have betrayals within ourselves, and we point the finger to cover those things up and to cover our own motives up. But then again, Elijah asked, how long halt ye between two opinions? Now I think if a lot of Christians were asked this question, would call a halt to their answer. And I know this, the quicker we call a halt to our halt and receive grace to serve God, the better. Because the law will cause us to seek loopholes to serve God and Baal. Oh, and we stand up on top and we start to rant and we start to rave and we start to carry on. Most times we're covering up. You ever been around somebody that's shouting and yelling all the time? They're covering up. Sometimes they're covering up their own fears. You ever done that? You're afraid, and so you yell real loud. Where you have bitterness in your heart, and you say, look how bitter that person is over there. Where you have jealousies, or you have these things, the very thing that you are judging on someone else, and we all do it. We have ourselves. You see, and we try to find these loopholes in the thing, see? But Jesus says, he that is not for me is against me. Some say, I won't take sides. There's a lot of people. I'm not going to take sides. I don't want to get involved. And they can see people beat to death, and they're not going to get involved. But then we have those that take both sides. And I think this is out of the question. These people are sickening. Now, I'm not talking about sinners, because, you see, we love sinners. I'm talking about a person who agrees with whoever he talks to last. During the Civil War, they had people that lived on the border, and they had two flags. One for the South, and then they had one for the North. And you know, they suffered the very most because the people found out, and people cannot stand a Mr. In-Between. It makes them feel sort of unclean. Oh, Mr. In-Between makes me feel so unclean. You ever been around a person that's kind of in-between? Jesus said, either be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm, because then I'll spit you out. In other words, tell the truth. I am ice cold. I am red hot. But don't stand around lukewarm. Well, what do you mean, lukewarm? Well, lukewarm is always talking about things and never doing anything. And possibly while we're talking, we're covering up, listen to me, radio audience and tape ministry, now listen, we're covering up our own insincerities. And we're lukewarm, and because we're lukewarm, we're just sitting on a pilot light. Just sitting. We're not on the burner. We're not on the front burner. We're sitting on a pilot light. And we're just sort of taking it all in, and we get real wise, and we know just exactly what to do, and we're doing a lot of, you know, studying up in our own mind. Do you want to know a dangerous thing? Start to study things up in your own mind. You can get weird. Say amen, somebody. Now, I'll tell you, and I've been around a little bit, even in the world, people that sit around by themselves, don't they get weird? They're peeking out of the curtains, wonder who's there, and they're sort of sneaking around. You know what I mean? And it's the same way in Christianity when people get off by themselves and they start a little separate work all by themselves. Now, you listen to me on the radio on this tape, and I'm talking about you might come on another ministry or somewhere else, but yet you're in that work, but you got a separate work going. And you sort of get sort of weird, see, because you're not in with what's going on. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, and that's what I want to get across as we get insincere then. We have insincerity. It's a mask that we put on. And I hope that I'm getting through. I think we need to call a halt to it. But then you listening, who is your God today? The God of pleasure or the God of things? Or is it the God of Elijah in the Bible? Now, you won't have peace until you answer that question. Now, glory to God, be honest. That's all God asks. Person come in the other night, several nights ago, I should say, and wanted to counsel. Well, I said, all you have to do is tell the truth. And there was a decision to make. Well, I said, how do you really feel in your heart about this thing? And just tell the truth, no matter how it will make you look spiritually. Just tell the truth. Well, the person had to think about that for a while because didn't want to tell the truth. Because, see, the truth might reveal an insincerity, but if it did reveal an insincerity and it was the truth about that insincerity, you'd be all right with God. Do you understand that? A lot of times, instead of doing that, what we do is we start to speak this thing to someone else. And let's face it, in some way, shape, or form, all of us are insincere at one time or another. But see, there's the whole thing. You got to be honest with the Lord. And when we're honest with God, now, when you counsel somebody, says, well, what is really in your heart? Say that. Get it out there. Confess it. And right away, the heart starts to lie. Well, this is in there, but it's in there because, or it's in there because, or this, and that this person made it that way, or that person made it that way. And there's circumstances. No, I didn't ask you for a whole lot of circumstances. I don't want you to get back into the mother's womb again and go all through that psychological garbage. I just want you to answer the question, and you will be healed. Just simply tell the truth. I hate you. Oh, then say it. Get it out there. Don't be insincere and say, oh, I love you, or I'm building a love, or I'm doing this, or I just love people so much. What's in your heart? Confess it, and oh, I just love my mom and dad so much. Now, there is not a person that I know that loves their mother and dad so much. They got something in there that they're mad at them about. That is the nature of things. Now, I know that's affecting people out there on the radio in this day. There's something in there, some insincerity, some gripe that you got against your parents. Some more than others, and some, well, I guess we could say justified. We'll use that word for lack of a better word, but some more than others. But yet, they'll just say, oh, I just love my mom and dad so much. And they're not sincere. Don't you see? But if they were sincere and they would get that out of their system, they could deal with it. And don't you see, we try to cover it up. And we take it off of the mom and dad, and we take it into the family, and we take it into the kids, and we take it into the grandkids, and we go down the line. When they asked me to minister at my mother's funeral, I honestly ministered the truth. So help me God. When I talk about my mother, I talk about my mother, the windmill. My mother that showed me a lot, that had a lot of sides. Near genius, near sanity, near insanity. I mean, you know. But when I got those truths out there, I could deal with it. And I said to myself, here is a pretty fantastic lady. For all of the complexities of her, she's a pretty fantastic lady. But first of all, I had to be sincere about my feelings, don't you see? And if you can be sincere about your parents, about how you really feel, maybe they were justified in bringing you up and they had to do things. Maybe you were hard to correct. But you get that out there, then you're going to see yourself. Once you allow God to get those things out there, and let God deal with those things that are out there, you won't halt in between two opinions about your parents. Ooh, my mother, she makes me so bad. Right? How many feel that way once in a while? Oh, put your hands up. Your moms all irk their kids, every one of them. Why? They're moms. They're irksome, aren't they? Isn't your mom irksome? Lord, she's irksome, ain't she? Well, you see, when we deal with that, and we get it out there, and we look at it, and we find out how insincere our little gifts are, and our little things are, and oh, here, mother, and here, dad. Right, hon? Huh? And you look at these things. Really? Then you have to look at yourself. Now, I'm a product of my mother. God help you. And also a product of my dad. But I'm also a product of God, and so are they. And what we're dealing with in the Christian world right now is a whole lot of insincerities. Unrealistic jargon. Don't you see? Why halt ye between two opinions? Who is your God today? You're not going to have any peace until you answer. Settle the question tonight. I don't think that we'll have any sleep with that question facing us until it's settled one way or the other. Well, God is God. But then you have to add, but I'm just a puny little sinner, a product of my mom and dad. Huh? And when you start to deal with it, you start to see your parents in a whole brand new light. And after all, you grow up. Your kids is going to have the same gripes about you they had about you had about your parents. And you'll find yourself saying the very same thing as your parents did. Won't you? Huh? How do you stop it? By being sincere. Asking God for grace to be sincere. I think this is the question then of questions. Why halt ye between two opinions? I mean, isn't life short? Isn't it? I remember when I thought, oh God, how short life is. My mother told me about a little baby that they had, a baby brother named Tiny. And the baby was born and it was about 10 or 12 days old and died. And I thought, boy, that was a short life. And then I had a friend, and he went out. Well, he was sort of a half-friend. I knew him, you know what I mean. And I always remember him because he was the first kid that had broken shoes, these wingtips, when they came out, because he had these extra-large feet. They went out swimming and took off these wingtips. He went under some kind of a raft, and he drowned it. They come back and they said, even forget his name now, Don or Bill or something like that. He's drowned. What? Well, I said, well, that couldn't be. I just got done. You remember that when you first had somebody that died and you had just talked to him or you had just seen him or something like that? And the realization came to you that life is short? What a shock. I mean, I am up here tonight preaching. And tomorrow you might not even see me. Life is like a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. Maybe somebody's sitting here. Maybe one of you listening on the radio to this tape. And we always think of it as the other fellow. And when we think of it in about ourselves, we're not realistic about it. We get melancholy. Oh, people are going to be sad when I go. They ain't going to be sad. They're going to go right down to McDonald's and wolf down some McMacs, and that's the end of you, Jack. Because people are not sincere. Say it. Say amen. The way we are. When we start to deal with those real things, and we start to say, oh, my, that is the truth. The truth will set you free to see people in a whole brand new light and appreciate the people while you got them. And to be honest while you have got them. Just be honest about it. Isn't that a way to be as honest? Are you sincere when you say, I love you? Are you sincere when you say, I care? Huh? Did you ever think about that word, sincere? When we put it at the end of letters all the time, sincerely yours. Do you really mean that? With all sincerity. Now that's a pretty heavy trip, isn't it? Sincerely yours. That means I'm yours. I am sincerely yours. Body and soul, I am yours, huh? Oh. A That's not the way it is. Until we really grasp what sincere means, and that's dealing with things. I think you start with your mom and dad, and you just sincerely get into your heart and say, God, deal with this wicked old heart of mine. Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Hear a song like that? Oh, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, it's me. Well, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, huh? See, if we're really sincere, we will know that it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. But we're not. So we say, boy, does that brother need prayer. Pray for him. And we get into telling other people to pray for so-and-so, you know what I mean? That's why in the Lord's Prayer it says, Father, forgive us. Everything is plural in the Lord. That's when you pray for somebody, you say, Our Father, and you say, forgive us. You don't leave yourself on the outside. Point that great big old long nasty evangelistic finger out there with a big nasty nail on it. Better use that long nail to clean the wax out of here so you can hear what the Lord's saying. It's me. Well, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. How many hearing this message tonight? You know why? Because the dust is waiting for you. The dust is waiting for you. You ever notice you go walking down a dusty road and you got on these big old shiny shoes? It wasn't too long, they got the dust all over. I'll take a good look at it, because that's what you're going to be yourself one fine day. I mean in the body. That ashes to ashes and dust to dust. I mean the sands of time is running down. My, I ain't got time for all that, have you? We don't have time to be insincere. Think about it. I mean the sands of time are running down. We do not have time for insincerities. Now is the time to tell the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes we have to tell the truth about ourselves. And the only way we can deal with the truth is to tell the truth about ourselves. After all, when we deal with ourselves, don't we deal with one another? Aren't we all brothers and sisters in the Lord? It's the way it is, isn't it? Because the sands, like I said, of time are running out and running down. But I think the people have left their very deepest footprints upon the shores of the time have been men of decision. Make a decision, my Lord, and stay with it. Make that decision and go all the way with it. When you feel the Spirit of the Lord moving on that thing, I don't care how many people come on your tail and say, hey, this is not of God. Go on with it as long as you know the Lord's there working with you. Be sincere with the Lord. Say, Lord, I sincerely don't know what you want me to do here. And I think many of the battles that are lost because generals could not decide. Indecision. They were insincere. You know, we can make these decisions every day, but if we put it off, we lose. Maybe you've been delaying telling somebody about Jesus Christ. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Are you still at the cross, listen now, of grace, looking at all your past sins? A lot of times a person gets saved and they stand there for 15, 20 years looking. Right at the cross, right there, they never leave. They're looking at their past sins. Huh? Why not go on? Why not press forward? Or there's some laying in the tomb, playing dead. Better call out to the Lord. Lord, unto thee I commend my spirit. Roll away those stones of doubt and come forth. Take off all them nasty old grave clothes. I was reading about that old vacillating Balaam. See, in profession, he would be a servant of the Most High God, but in practice, he bowed down to Baal. You know why he did? He wanted the applause of the world. Did you ever notice something about the applause of the world? When their rock stars start to fade or they get in trouble? Don't be looking for the applause of the world. Don't be looking for the stones, on the other hand, either. They'll come. Sooner or later, they'll be there. But look at Agrippa. Almost persuaded. He lacked moral courage that Paul had. And Felix even trembled, but said, "Go thy way for this time." He didn't want to decide quite yet. Indecision. Well, can I think about it? Can I pray about it? You don't say that to your youngster when he's yelling and screaming, crying. Wait a minute, I'll change your diapers, but can I think about it? Can I pray about it for a while? He's not going to be waiting on you. How many hearing this? Oh, maybe later, Felix said. He lacked character. He wasn't confident. Give me a little time. Don't get so pushy. People don't want to make decisions. Could you help me with this or that? One guy, I asked him if he could help me. He started holding his head. I said, man, don't fall apart. Don't fall apart, man. And one guy I asked to help me downstairs, and he got violent. Were you there today? And I asked this guy, I said, about being mad. I said, are you still mad at me for asking you to go to work? I asked the guy, I said, would you mind getting up and going over there and bag some of them onions for 15 minutes? Nope, I won't do it. I said, well, how about 5 minutes? I ain't got time. I got something to do. So 20 minutes later, we're sitting there talking with some folks. I says, how about giving you 5 minutes now? And the guy got totally violent. You know what I mean? I said, man, don't become unglued. It's all right. Take your rest. This is 2 weeks later now. I asked him, I said, are you still mad? Aren't you talking? Nope! Wasn't talking. I says, are you still mad because I asked you to go to work? I don't work. I'm too old. Boy, he had a powerful set of lungs on him. Well, how old are you? 73? You know what? I'm going to keep right on asking him to go to work. It's a challenge to me now. Well, he doesn't know the joy of going to work. He doesn't know the joy of making a decision. Right? Isn't there joy in making a decision and then saying, well, I've decided? Philippians 1 and 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Wow. Oh, I love that. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since you both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. Wow. For God is my witness, he goes on, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. How do you suppose that he got sincere like that? Through persecution, through being a real person, through being stoned and flogged. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere. There it is. And blameless until the day of Christ. Sincere. Tell the truth. Now, it's easy for us to tell the truth about somebody else. Because you know why? We know the truth about ourselves. Isn't that right? Well, it is. Well, we got all kinds of swear words and names in the world for people, don't we? She's a this and he's a that. Well, the world says it. It takes one to know one. They got so many cute sayings. All the sayings they have lead you right to Scripture. All wisdom comes from above. Okay, in James 1, 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let no man think that he can expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now you run into a person that's double-minded. Okay? That's why it's so important to follow orders. Because if you're double-minded, you'll listen to one, and then you'll listen to it. And now you got your halt between the two opinions. Well, he said to do this, and she said to do that, and then you halt between the two opinions. See, that's where leadership comes in. Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. And then, but so-and-so said this. I don't care what so-and-so had to say. Didn't I just tell you to get out there and do that? Now, wouldn't you do that with your own children? You tell them, okay, now I want you to go out and mow the grass. And you come out and they're mowing the neighbor's grass. But the neighbor told me to go over and mow their grass. But, hey, what did I tell you? Do you see what I'm getting at? Maybe you're in a particular type of ministry that ministers do this. And someone tells you to do that. And the one that told you to do this, the leader, comes out and you're doing that. And you say, I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to do this. Yeah, but I know you told me to do this, but they told me to do that. And so I didn't know whether to do this or that. So they were the last one that talked to me, and you were the first one that said to do this, and they were the last one that said to do that, so now I'm doing that. But I didn't ask you to do that. I asked you to do this. How long halt ye between two opinions, and it all comes from not having a sincere heart. And you can be swayed by any wind of doctrine when you get into that. Dualisms. But why do we preach the gospel? I remember I started preaching gospel and I had to ask myself that question. Why are you preaching the gospel? For self-display? to dominate, to want the approval of man or of God? And I asked that question, and I went to a church here, right down here on the north side, I think 10 years ago, wasn't it? And I got up in the pulpit, and I had a heavy message. And that was my answer. But see, it had all been done in love, and I went home and I searched the scriptures. Stayed up all night. I said, my God, you mean you're going to have me preach like this? Is this the way I'm going to preach the whole of my ministry? Oh, I thought this is going to be hard, Lord, but the Lord answered my question that it's all by grace. Oh, you have to ask yourself that question when you get out and start to minister, don't you? Matthew 26 and 33 says, Peter answered and said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. The world even says that, don't they? They say, never say never. They're right. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that this very night before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And then it goes on and says, and all the disciples said the same thing too. Well, they weren't sincere, were they? Better to have said, you know, by the grace of God, I really don't know what I do. I might cut and run. God, give me grace.
Go with your utility.